star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Just ate a Chicago hot dog. I made push the podcast back to get one. And
well, that's what you were doing.
I was getting a famous Chicago-style hot dog. It was delicious, yeah. No, so I feel good.
For the idiots who listen to this show, who are people who don't know what a Chicago style hot dog is, what are we having on there? We're talking about a pickle.
We got a pickle spear. We got some celery salt. We got tomato. We got some little peppers. I forget what they're called. Relish, mustard, onion. Your favorite. And
I'm talking minus that onion. It's a great meal. But unfortunately, you got to throw the whole dog out once you have that onion on it.
Yeah, put it in the trash. But I've been in Chicago. It's been good. Had a great show with Zane's last night. Talked to a couple podcast listeners. Very exciting. Yeah, sold out.
Podcast listeners there?
Yeah, I talked to Derek Hart. Very nice man. Took a picture with him. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Derek Carr, the quarterback, was there?
Yeah, so he threw that touchdown Thursday or Monday Night Football, and then he got on the plane. Yeah. So that was great. And he threw me a ball while I was doing stand-up, and I caught it. Kind of on my head.
Yes.
Yeah, like David Tyree style. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Much like the I can't remember if I've told this story on the podcast before, but back when my name was Tom Brady, there was a comedian who asked me to do her show, and she sent me like a 6-paragraph long email saying what she wanted from the show. And one of the things that she wanted to do was, because my name was Tom Brady, she was like, hey, what's the name of your favorite, who's your football team? And I was like, why do you need to know that, first of all? Like, what's that have to do with my set?
Yeah.
And what she wanted to do was intro me by saying, tonight on the show, we couldn't get Eli Manning, but we got somebody else. And then she was going to throw a football to me as I got on stage, which doesn't even make sense because Tom Brady is a quarterback. I would be throwing the football. that's very funny. But I'm psyched. Sold out Zany's, huh? That's fun.
Very exciting.
It was Old Town, right?
Yeah, the downtown one. Oh, yeah, so it was very cool.
I mean, they're both the Rosemont one's fun too, but that one's the one that I like. It's been a while. Hell yeah! Well, congrats. We miss you over here. When are you getting back?
I'm going. I have a wedding this weekend. I'm staying in Chicago till we are both in Boise, where we will be at Tree Fort Fest together.
Good.
Doing a live Stand By Your Band.
Great promo, dude. By the way, I fucked up because I thought Tree Fort, I didn't know what it was. I didn't do my research. Mm-hmm. Tree Fort is going to be fucking incredible. Like, it looks so fun.
The lineup's really good.
The band we've been talking about on this show a bunch, Mannequin Pussy, is going to be on it. I'm staying an extra day. I didn't even know they were on the festival. And then I was just looking through the lineup, and we knew the Japanese Breakfast was on. And I was like, you know, Mannequin Pussy's been touring with Japanese Breakfast a lot. Like, maybe there's a chance. And I looked up, and sure enough, they're there. So I'm sticking around an extra whole ass day just to see them. And we're going in a day early to see Japanese Breakfast. And I'm seeing Built to Spill that day. It's going to be incredible.
Oh, nice.
And I'm opening for some bands that we can.
Is that about the BP ship that spilled all the oil? Huh?
It is. Yep. Mm-hmm. And wait, no, I was thinking of the Suez Canal thing. But,
I'm still mad about that BP oil spill. That pisses me off. Greg, what do you think about the BP oil spill? Greg Stone here.
Yeah, let's. I was gonna say, I like that you guys do a cool 40 before introducing the guest.
I don't even normally do that long. And I can tell you were chomping at the fucking bit, and it made me want to go longer.
I'm sitting here like, how long could this go before they acknowledge that I'm in the room or the Zoom room? So how's your mother doing? How's your mom? She all right? Good. Remember last episode when we did this? That was a cool moment. Just things I can't chime in on at all. No, I'm just I love you guys. It's fun to hear. I'm not jumping anywhere. What was the question?
What do you think about the BP oil? The BP oil spill.
It's good to know what you're getting into on a podcast. Stand by your band. Stand by your oil spill. I stand by it. I think it was the right move for them. Yeah, I mean, gotta get that oil. You gotta get that grease up them ducks. Yeah, you know, I love an oiled up bird, and that's why I stand by the BP oil spill. You guys need to do that podcast. Stand by the horrific, tragic event that happened, and just people who stand by.
Late capitalism, man.
Text the rich.
Support the Patreon.
For every subscriber, we clean off one duck in the Mexican Gulf with Dove soap.
Only if you join the $100 tier.
The SEAL tier. Sorry.
Greg, how the hell are you, man? I feel like we surprised you with that BP thing, and you really tried.
I'm great, man. I just came back from a OBGYN meeting with my wife, so we were running to go to fucking Harlem to do, like, we have like 2 weeks before this baby comes, and I was sweating, not thinking I was going to make it, but thank God for that fucking Chicago hot dog that bought me a little bit of time. I was like, they're going to be mad at me if I have to delay the podcast because of my wife's OBGYN, and then to find out you're delaying it for a Chicago hot dog makes me feel so much better. I'd be so mad. This doctor's appointment went late to check on the heartbeat of my child, but you're like, I needed bacon on my dog.
Greg, I wouldn't say that we're not mad at you still, and because of this. And here's another thing. People been having babies for millenniums with no OBGYNs. And it all works out. Now, a Chicago-style hot dog just gives my man the sustenance he needs to perform on this very podcast.
And, people been eating Hebrew National without onions for years. They can live without it. Sorry, I am highly caffeinated. So
I'm grateful both of you guys were running late because I'm lagging today. And I got very drunk last night in honor of Norm MacDonald passing.
Sure.
Really fast RIP to rest in peace to Norm MacDonald, who it was very devastating news yesterday. And I in his honor, just got so fucking drunk and don't feel good today. But I'm going to power through. But
you're the first one I thought of when he died.
Is that true?
Because the last time we had discussed, you and I were having a giant Norm riff off where we were just doing bit for bit.
Yeah.
And I remember we had talked about the Fantastic Four sketch, which is one of my favorite things ever.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I just was like, how that was right there. How did I not get that? I'm the comic book guy.
I know.
How did he get that? But it's so good. Listen to it on your own, folks. We're not going to recap it here.
Yes.
That's interesting. Yeah. But you thought of Tom first because I thought of his friends and family. That's who I was thinking of when I heard that he passed. So.
That's fine. I said, no one's going to be more devastated than Tom Brady. Old Tom Brady. Not new Tom Dekar. Old Tom Brady. Hey, I'll be Greg Coraluzzo all day if we want to do old names.
All right, let's.
I'm Greg Stone. You haven't introduced me.
We have introduced you. We have Greg Stone on the show today from Friday Night Greg podcast. great comedian, great friend, and one of Antonia's my fiance's favorite comedians. And really, really quickly, and then we'll get into what we're here to talk about. There's something that me and Antonia laughed about a lot, which is the first time she came to see me at the Cellar. You were on the show as well, and you had a joke that she talks about all the time about how it was your towels that were like brown, and you thought your wife was wiping her ass with the towels. And
this is the worst way to do someone else's bit.
I'm going to do it. It's going to be bad, and it's going to make you look like a dipshit.
Keep it going with this dipshit. Dipshit is a great. That's not used enough.
Yeah,
it's gonna make you look like
overpull.
Hey, get out of here, dipshit. Dipshit is fun. Oh, we need to work that back in a circulation. Yep. That fucking dipshit over there. I don't know why that's making me laugh so hard. It's fucking dipshit. I don't know why. That's great. That's great. Sorry. So continue right
I
ahead.
I need to tell it my way because this
Do
is
it.
Important to the story is that I fucked it up in the retelling because I was like worried about my set or whatever. I'm not thinking about Greg Stone's fucking set. I can't watch this. Yeah, during this performance, I've of course watched you since and before and had a great time. But this one I'm nervous for. It's one of my first sets there. And you have this joke about how you thought your wife was wiping her ass with the towels because they were like dirty all the time, like brown and shit. And it turned out you found out that she was actually wiping her makeup off. And I, Antonio was like, remember that joke Greg Stone had about how his wife like was wiping her ass with the towels? And then I was like, oh yeah. And then it turned out it was actually her period.
Oh my God.
Cody was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That would not be better. Like, no, it was her makeup. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes more sense.
It's way worse.
That was your big joke. It's like,
it was her period, people. Get in town.
The woman, Jesus.
It was her period. That's way, it's like the killer is in the house. No, the killer is you. Like, it's way worse. That wasn't a good riff, but you get it. You get it.
You know, I'll just edit that whole part out just to make it all clean.
Clean this up for me, will you?
Yeah. We laugh about that all the time, that I thought that it was just their period. But sorry if anybody's grossed out. But grow up. It's a natural thing that women do that's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm just kidding.
That's the thing, right? Women say, like, it's not gross, it's natural. Yeah, blowing my nose on a towel is also gross, right? We all do that. That's natural. No one's fucking weird about that. That's not male or female power. It's all fluids are gross. Crying is not gross. Crying is gay.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it is gay because gay people cry, too. Everyone cries.
You're going to lean
Edit
in.
Edit this out. Edit this all out. Yep, edit me. Yep. You can go through, clean this up. This is going to be a 14-minute podcast.
This is going to be fun.
And the first 13 is Tom and I talking about.
Today's episode brought to you by the BP oil spill, where we'll be discussing that for 40 minutes in length.
We have Greg Stone on the show today, and then it's just you doing your plugs.
Dude, we did this once, but it got deleted. On a Rad Dudecast episode, the audio went out for half of the episode, so we just looped the second half, and like it's either no one noticed or I don't know what the fuck we did. It's like a gag, and no one noticed until eventually we were on this label, and they were like, "Hey, we released one episode, and do you guys just do two? Like, there's a problem. It's just the same episode in the same episode," and we had to take it down. But it was like, what a gag! Like, what a great gag. We didn't have enough time, so we just looped the end.
I love it.
You could do that here if you'd like.
Loved that pod, and I love Friday Night Greg as well. That's the podcast that Greg Stone has, and we're here to talk about a one Aesop Rock today. You're wearing the t-shirt. We don't do video on the show, but I'll tell people now, you are wearing an Aesop Rock t-shirt. I appreciate you dressed the part.
Not
a Blue Lives Matter hat. Just so people know.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm wearing. I got a bird on my shoulder, just like a pirate. Hey, just enjoy yourself. And I was going to say Swazi. Swazi is a fun way to say swastika, right?
Get up, go.
Edit this out. Edit this part out if you don't mind.
I'm not editing that part out. I can't do too much work on this. I'm not feeling great.
Don't edit any of it. I don't really care anymore about anything. You know, if you don't know who I am, if you don't realize, it's like, I don't care, man. I'm sorry. I'm not a racist or a homophobic person. I just talk. I just say whatever is in here, I throw it out. And
I didn't think we would get to this within the first 14 minutes.
God knows. I can't control it.
Or a homophobe.
It's only a matter of time before they get me anyway. Anyway, I got this. I'm so caffeinated up. It's wild. I had a cold brew. I'm crazy because I woke up at 7 to go to this goddamn appointment. Anyway, Aesop Rock is a shirt I'm wearing. I'm sorry to take us off.
Let's
put us back on.
Right off the bat. Give us a little bit of history with Aesop Rock. When you sent Aesop Rock, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I thought you meant Aesop Rocky.
Everyone does.
They're both artists, and they're both in the world, and their names are so similar. Speak on that.
Yeah, track. It was insulting. I thought, I hate A$AP Rocky for that reason, because A$AP Rock had been around a lot longer. He was like, he'd come up in that, like, he's a guy from Long Island. He's, in my opinion, and I think when you get him, you get him. He's the greatest of all time lyrically, as far as rap goes. There is no one who is doing what he's done. You can listen to his songs.
And like at first it's aggressive. You go, oh God, what is this? But it's he's like a Coen Brothers movie. Like, did you ever see, when I first saw Big Lebowski, I went, this is dumb. And then after like the fifth time I saw it, I was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. Yeah. You just need to know where, what you're in for, like what you're trying to get. And that's what Aesop Rock is big about, to me, in my opinion. He's like, his lyrics are things that you hear and you go, if you're not really listening, you're like, this is garbage. But when you start dissecting what he's saying, you're like, holy Christ, this guy is talking about shit that at a time when he, you know, first started, no one else was really doing. I got into him. I actually got into him because someone sent me an Eminem CD when Eminem first came out. Everyone was like, you got to get, I got a burned Eminem CD. But someone just said, this is another white guy, I'll just put it on here. So I guess in Kaza or whatever the fuck that, where you'd burn
Kazaa,
yeah, rappers or people would just label things wrong so that they would get downloads. I think someone did that with Aesop Rock. So I got into Aesop Rock thinking he was Eminem. And I was like, yo, this Eminem is fucking the best. And then other people were like, yeah, he is. But I'm like, no, this Eminem is better. And then I found out who it was. Yeah. Did you get to hear any of it?
Yeah. This is why we do the playlist. And I will say, so right off the bat, you offered up. You were like, I'm going to send you five songs that'll get you into him immediately. And I was like, that's a great coincidence because I'm about to ask you for six songs. And then you did send about nine songs.
I couldn't, in my defense, I couldn't figure out how to, I just got Spotify. I've been a YouTube music guy for some reason. I have been a YouTube music guy this whole time. So I just got Spotify. I don't know how to delete songs off the playlist. So I was going to message you and be like, don't listen to this Malibu Ken song. You don't need it, but
I'm
whatever.
Tell you, I would have greatly appreciated it had you done that because
you got one extra song.
I did not get one extra song. I got three extra songs.
No. Count them out.
All right. Daylight, Holy Smokes, Long-Legged Larry.
Yeah, you probably don't need that one for her.
1 + 1 = 13. Now we're at 6. Bazooka Tooth and Fast Cars. Okay, so it was two extra songs.
Two extras. It's extra credit. You keep going. But yeah, was it that painful to listen to?
Not all of it, but no. Yeah, no, yeah. I was finding myself having a good time with some of it. And then I let it play so long that someone else started. It was, what is this? Montego Slay started up, and I didn't know who. I thought it was still Aesop Rock, and I was like, damn, now I'm really starting to like this. And it turned out it wasn't him.
Well, I don't expect people to like him on the first listen. That's the issue, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, it really is a lyrics thing. When there's that song on there, Kiln. I don't know if you go through each song. I don't listen to podcasts.
We play clips
from each song. So you want to hear a little bit of Kiln?
But you have to go to he doesn't come on till the end of the song. So it's like he's the second verse. What he talks about on this song, and I'll read the lyrics because I don't really, I'll read lyrics too. I don't even give a shit. I cannot be funny on this podcast. I'm so serious about Aesop Rock. I do not know how to joke about it. I won't. I'm like, this is the one guy I am a mega fan of, a psycho about. Like, this is my guy. Like,
yeah.
When people try to say something, I get mad. Like, I can't laugh about it. I am so into this. It's crazy. I don't want to meet him. I'll cry. He'll be rude to me. And then I'll fight him. Now I got to fight again. Now I'm fighting a rapper in fucking Seattle. I don't want to do that. It's going to be...
I've heard he is rude. That's like... Or people said there's a high chance that he's an asshole. He, like, burns a lot of bridges. There's the beef between him and Kimya Dawson, which I guess we'll get into that later. You were about to pull up the Kiln lyrics.
I got him. See, I think he's also just a guy who's kind of private. You know what I mean? And like, you know, or whatever. He's what he is. Who the hell gives a shit? We all know comedians who are dicks. I'm not one of them. I'm one of the greatest humans who's ever lived on Earth. I'm just talking to pull up these lyrics when I could just let you talk.
You want me to play some of it before you do that?
Yeah. It's right. I'm good. I got
it
already.
Start around the end and hopefully I find it.
I'll tell you right where to go. You gotta go back.
Go back.
I'll give you the exact time because it's like it's two people on the song. It's kind of like the middle. The first line is Sidewinders wind through fried wires. That's when he first comes in. Yeah, probably right after this. This is it.
but they don't organize an alphabet and prose that would render them drastically exaggerated roles. I know I shouldn't care, but I'm too old to play the dozens. But admittedly, I visualize some ultimate comeuppance with heads on pikes and pikes on walls and hellbound knights who deny all involvement. It's awful. Off on a tough blue hubby, got a buck tooth youth from an uncool cubby. Step inside the club like a statue.
I have a specific place for you to end. Oh, keep going. Oh, never mind. Anyway, I could just read. I'll just tell you about it. What that does for me, those lyrics are when I'll read them to you and I kind of want to talk to you about them. What he's explaining, no one has ever explained. It's that feeling of walking into the Comedy Cellar and seeing nothing but industry and the bookers and you as an artist having to navigate through that and deal with it when you don't feel comfortable. And he fucking nails it. Right. So the first line is sidewinders wind through fried wires. Right. What I always, you know, the missile, a sidewinder missile having to go through fried wires. Remember in the old Nintendo Ninja Turtle game where you have to swim through that's essentially that, like trying to dip and weave through these fried wires. The industry, the people, they're all in the fucking room. You're at the Comedy Central party. It's a fucking nightmare. Right. Who were trying desperately to organize an alphabet in prose that would render them drastically exaggerated roles. I know I shouldn't care. That's a whole thing of like organized alphabet. I don't want to get into that. It's about rapping, whatever. I know I wouldn't care, but I'm too old to play the dozens. But admittedly, I visualize some ultimate comeuppance. Like you're praying that these guys are going to get their just desserts. This for holding themselves higher, but they're not going to. We all know that, right? Where's the line I really want to grab here? There's a lyric about, in a room of hired primates climbing on typewriters, right? Trying to desperately organize an alphabet and prose. What they are, he's calling the industry right now, not artists. He's saying these are monkeys trying to sit at a typewriter and nail, you know how they say if you get a thousand monkeys, they'll eventually get Hamlet or whatever the fuck? That's what he's calling them. He's like, you're a bunch of fucking monkeys hoping that if you type long enough at this, you'll get the winning guy, the celebrity, or the industry, or these shitty comedians who just don't have artistic abilities, which we know they are, right? They're just playing the numbers game, hoping that they'll get somebody, right? And let me know if this is just annoying, because I'm so into this that I know it's
oh, this is great. Yeah,
this is a good break. Me and Tommy were just saying the more you can give us, the better, because I don't know a lot about, I didn't listen to him much, so I'm happy to like hear you break songs down. Because you're right, upon one listen, I don't pick up what he's talking about. I'm just hearing the beat more than anything.
Exactly, and he's got a weird-ass voice, so it's hard to get on. It's hard to get invested in when he sounds so weird and crazy. And his raps aren't like hooky. They're all lyrics-based, right?
Yes.
Like, he has this line right here. It says, who step inside a club like a statue crying blood? Which is like, feeling awkward. You walk into the cellar, you feel like that statue crying blood. It's from something I don't know. So you have to like Google a lot of his shit to know what he's talking about. Dance floor scattered, asking why I'd come, you know, sitting there. Oh, this is where it gets good, right? Man, shamefully, whichever way you cut it, I was trying to impress some people I can't even stomach, you know?
Come on,
that's not hitting you right there? Yeah. You'd like to think you're cool enough to not care if you're cool, but the spirit gets distracted. The flesh is fucking cruel. They drag you through the tempest and extend you to the wolves. This would be the time if I had any cool signature moves. You know what I mean? What the fuck is...
This is walking around the Montreal after party or whatever, the bar or whatever, and you're just like, why do I give a fuck what any of these people think? But you do. Yeah, this is what's a way that non-comics can relate to this?
Anyone who's ever had to impress a boss or any kind of bullshit. You know, this guy's not a comic. He's a rapper. But that feeling of like, yeah, man, I'm fucking too cool for this. And you get there and you still got to play the game because you're not. And then it's like, you know, that's my favorite line, which is this would be the time if you had any cool signature moves. You know, it's like, you know, hit him with a Hadouken or hit him with a good laugh line, you know.
I do like the line moves, though, because it's like it makes it sound like you're going to do like a fun little dance or like a that's my signature move.
And for the most part, the rest of that song, like, it's that whole verse is it just hit me so well with like being in this industry and being in this business that I was like, fuck, he gets it. And if he's an asshole, he's an asshole. But at least he was able to offer me something to help me not feel alone in this bullshit industry with these bullshit fucking people.
Love it.
And you just cut me off because I
no. I
highly.
We're gonna do. We'll let you pick six songs out of this. This
30. Yeah, he's got one about the BP oil spill, which he really nails it. I'll keep calling that joke back. You better not.
We're not gonna cut you off from talking, but I do ask that you stop drinking.
Yeah, we're gonna.
It is really. I mean, it is like noon.
You're about to have a baby. Come on.
I don't know if they can't see, but I feel like my camera setup. I feel like I'm on a confessional at the office. Are you noticing this? Does it not feel like Michael Scott's a real cocksucker? Anyway,
famous quote from Jeff.
You look like that, and then Tommy looks like he's in like Drake's studio or something.
Yeah,
where are
definitely you? In a mixing board in front of him.
I'm at my sister's house in their basement. Yeah, they got a cool setup. They got cool lights in here.
That is a cool setup. What's that?
Is that a TV? It's like a weird purple light thing. It changes colors. Yeah.
That's cool as hell. I feel like I'm at the damn, not the MoMA. What the hell's that? It doesn't matter. There's a museum I went to with a cool light setup that I cannot remember what it was called. Mass MoCA. That's it. Anyway, very cool. Yeah, you do look. Damn it! I wish I'm gonna take a picture of this. I mean, I guess what am I gonna use this for? I'll just have it on my computer. there we go. Anyway, let's hear another song though. Unless you got more you want to say about Kiln.
No. I would. Can I pick the next song?
Yeah, of course.
Because I previously, I already pulled the lyrics up, so it'll be easier.
Yeah. What do you got with the song?
You want to play instrumentals and you can do the rap.
Oh, that would be my dream. Are you crazy? Are you like I could never. That's what I would. I would die to do that. You can never pretend that it's what I want to do, but it's secretly what I would kill. We all want to be rappers. Everybody, every comedian wants to be a rock band or a fucking rapper. But
you know, I think we talked about karaoke a lot on the show, and I think a lot about doing like Monster or like what's another one that I'm like. I did American Boy once, Kanye and I can't remember the. Yes. I think about doing that, and then I'm like, if I fuck up one line, it's over. Like, it's done. And also, Monster is really long, and you need...
I'm a motherfucking monster. That Cardi B, Kanye
like
West?
Every word I would be able to do, and I would want to do Nicki Minaj's part, but...
You got to.
But it's just like, you need too many people, I think. It doesn't matter. But it does seem... Yeah, just being a rapper seems like the coolest thing in the world. Just a good...
Did I ever tell you my karaoke story?
No, I don't think
so. You do.
It's not even a story. It's a life. I started doing comedy in 2001.
This seems like it's going to be really long.
It might be. We might have to edit this out. This is a pre-edit. Mark the time now, and then you'll know where to cut out. Starting cut out here. Years. I'll clap. Cut out there, and then I'll do 5 minutes on this story, and then you cut it in. And we're back.
Tell us the life.
Wasn't that a great story, guys? All right. And I did so I bombed real hard in 2001 doing comedy, quit for like a year or two, and for those few years I was traveling up and down New Jersey every night of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, while I was straight edge, did not drink, doing karaoke every single night as a character named Gus Dakota. I would wear a fake swear to God, this is 1,000% true. There are YouTube videos when I was doing. And also, just to let you know, this ends. Huh?
How old are you at this time?
Not young enough, my friend. I was, this is like 05, 04, some shit around there. I don't really know. But I also got it. So I would do, I had a set list. Anthony DeVito would come me. Anthony came as this character named Suntune. He was a very like racially ambiguous guy who had like his hair parted in the middle and like these pedophile glasses. The guy would go, ladies and gentlemen, keep it going for Gus Dakota. Suntune would run over. Anthony, grab the microphone, say, shut the music. And then he would redo my intro. He would go, ladies and gentlemen, your next performer is one of the greatest singers of all time. He's the Sultan of Swing, the King of Charisma. Keep it going for Gus Dakota. Now hit his music. And then I would come out to like, and then I would do, I had a set list. I would do all Neil Diamond. I would end on Natalie Imbruglia Torn. I did it in my own way. And it'd be a bunch of like, this old dog's got a lot of tricks in him, you son of a bitch. Like that kind of guy. He was just like a fucking, It would carry a knife. It was crazy.
I have so many questions for you, man.
Sure.
Okay. First off, when you say you did like a set list, how was that possible? A karaoke? Sure.
No, I would come with a set list. And then I would, as soon as karaoke would open, I would go, here are my songs, place whoever you want in between me, but these are in. And sometimes people wouldn't put in, or they wouldn't put in early, and I'd do like four or five in a row. Oh, and the karaoke guys knew me. They would go, Gustico, take it away. We got two more from Gus. I had a guy come up to me one time and go, hey, man, I was going to do Neil Diamond tonight, but I know you do Neil, so I'm not going to do it unless you think it's okay. And I went, you don't do Neil if old Gus is in the house. And I wouldn't let him do it. And I wouldn't let him do Gustica. I wouldn't let him do Neil. It is fine. The sun shines most of the time. You want to do it, you can do it. It was a lot of that. Like a lot of just walking around trying to fuck women.
Legitimately can't tell if this is real. If you're, I'm like hungover to a level. But I can't tell if you're just fucking with me.
My rule is, if you ask me if I'm lying, I'll always tell you if I'm lying.
Yes.
I am not lying. And I will also tell you that you're not going to believe this part. I was telling the guy I used to work for at TGI Friday's a story. I was like, yeah, I used to go. I've been going around doing Gus Dakota karaoke. And he goes, I would love to see that. I said, awesome. Do you mind if I come back and work a couple extra shifts at Friday's because I need some money? And he goes, yeah, come in. I show up in the Friday shirt with a bear stapled. It was a picture of a bear that I took out of a Maxim magazine, stapled to it. Nunchucks in my back, fake mustache, sunglasses, bandana. He goes, so I guess I got Gus Dakota. I went, you fucking AAA right. He changes my name in the computer, and I worked a shift a week at TGI Fridays for about 4 months as a guy named Gus Dakota. People I knew came up to me because I was in the bar, and they go, Greg, you got to see, we got this crazy guy working here, Gus Dakota. I swear to God, he has a fake mustache. I went, that sounds nuts. People I knew didn't know it was me. My mustache fell off into a woman's plate once. And she went, is that a fake mustache? And I went, are those fake titties? You don't ask a man that question. And I left. And I never made more money in my life at tips. Full character. This is what I was doing for a while in my life.
That is so crazy you did it. So, because at first I thought you were like running karaoke as a way to make money, but you were just doing this for the love of the game.
Love of the game.
So you did it every night of the week. Is that you said the days in a weird order?
Yeah, I did it every Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Saturday, Ash Wednesday, every holiday. Yeah, no, every day. I did it every night because I wanted to be doing stand up, but I had that energy to get out, and so I would just go do karaoke every night.
Incredible. That is one of the wild. Greg, you're full of fucking insane stories.
Really shit.
That just reminded me of the thing that's happening on your Instagram right now. I know that this is a fucked up episode because we're supposed to be talking about ASAP Rocky.
Yeah,
I think we'll get back to him. But and we don't have Jared this week, so that cuts 2 minutes off or whatever. But so Greg hired a social media manager. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, yes. Tell us what I saw. So there's a post from what was it? Labor Day? What the hell holiday was it?
It was Labor Day.
Labor Day. So they've started posting on your Instagram as you. Now, why did you do this?
I wanted to never touch my social media again, right? So I hired this company and it was like $500 a month, which is a lot, but I was like, that's pretty cheap for what they're willing to do. And I said, what are you willing to do? And they said, we will post every day a video. We will post on Twitter. We'll post on all of your things. We'll give you a schedule of what'll be going up and that's what they'll do. And I was like, awesome. This is what I want. They did none of that. I sent them 90 hours of content plus my podcast that they're supposed to go through and cut shit. They kept not doing it. You didn't even know about this. I sent them a clip of my podcast, of someone else's podcast. I'm not going to say who, someone else's podcast. And I went, I want my clips to go like this. Here's a great example of how the clip should look. Mm-hmm. They posted that person's podcast.
And it was Ben Shapiro, right?
And I had to delete it, which is very awkward. So then they started just posting things in my name. And so they posted, it was like, it's Labor Day. You can't have a good Labor Day if you don't work hard. I'm the hardworking comedian, Greg Stone. It was like, and it didn't even say that. It was in broken English because what they're clearly doing is outsourcing it. They're clearly getting people from India or Japan, not Japan, I don't know, India or like somewhere to do this. And it was like, iComedy, fun is to happen with Greg Stone time. And I was like, what is this shit? And then I started fighting with them. Go ahead, Tom. I feel like you've got something synced up here.
No, I just found the post, and it's like, it's the fact that you left it up is hilarious. Like,
oh, they're still working for me.
No.
They're so funny. Well, because they gave me a free month. So I'm like, yeah, keep posting this shit. They post wild things, and I just fight with them in the comments. It's just them being like, Greg says, follow me. And I'm like, hey, stop talking to my friends. And they're like, we need to talk to your friend. And it's just Greg talking to Greg because they're signed into my account. Wild.
I love the, so it says, it's a picture of you that I wish people, you guys got to go to Greg's. You gotta go to Greg's Instagram because this picture is so funny. It's just you. I can't even explain the face. You have to see it. And then it's
just, it, yep, I have a little.
It says, you can't party hard if you don't know how to work hard. And then it says Labor Day on your shoulder. And then it, the caption is, I grind hard a lot every
night. A lot every night.
And then they put the water drops like emoji. You know what I mean.
No, what? I don't.
Like
you know what thing? I mean? I grind hard a lot every night. So that means I don't grind every night. Every night for about 20 minutes, I grind pretty hard.
Yep.
And then I stop.
A lot, yeah.
You know what I mean. Wild.
It's incredible.
Labor Day, actually, one of Aesop Rock's first albums.
This is great. This is what you just did was beautiful. You got us back on track, which is what we desperately needed.
Right.
So you had a track pulled up before I got us so far off track. But
I'm so
glad we learned this karaoke alter ego. That, apparently, were you filing taxes as this guy? Because you're giving tips.
As Uncle Gus?
Yeah.
Uncle Gus did get a girl. I swear to God, this is hand of God. Went to a party, met a girl as Gus Dakota, did not break character. She went, call me. Called her.
Wow.
We started dating.
No.
Because of, I swear to God, we started. She was dating Greg, though, right? But at the time, I grew the mustache for real for this like project I was working on. Shaved the mustache. 3 months later, she breaks up with me. I honestly think she fell in love with Gus Dakota and not every now and again, I'll have a mustache and my friends will call me and say, Greg, you need to shave it. You know what will happen. And what they're saying is they know that Greg will be lost and Gus Dakota will fully take over. And they know.
Like because, Venom.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The symbiote takes over. Or symbiote if you're a fucking Fox Studios.
We should have Gus on the show at some point.
He's always ready to come.
All right, let's listen to another song.
I want to give you a little backup on this one. So I liked Aesop Rock a lot, right? Then I heard this song, and this was the first song that like made me go, holy shit, he is nailing how I feel to a it's called Holy Smokes. I'm not sure if I told you that.
Yes, no.
How I feel about religion, and I'd never heard a rap song about religion before. Mm-hmm. And also this song isn't like what you'd think. It's not like, okay, this guy's just dissing religion, right? The hook is one of my favorite hooks ever. It goes, I'm not an asshole. I'm just a little confused, right? That has been my entire take on religion my whole life. It was like, look, I'm not trying to be a dick. I don't hate religion. But this whole thing is weird and confusing. And when he and this is like an earlier song, how he breaks down his life through and kind of like leaving Catholicism is, I've never heard that in a rap song before. And it fucking nails it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do you want me to rap the whole? I'll rap it for you if you'd like.
I'll play some of it. Then we'll hear your take on it. Or if you want to rap along to it, that's fine. Is there any specific part you want me to start at?
You can start in the beginning of the song. It's a little bit of a, like, where you're first going, but...
For sure. I'll start it up.
Holy Give him one of these pills if he has any pain. A parable.
Yeah, you got a little...
It's a little story with a lot of truth. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus told many parables to grown-ups and children alike. He told them simply and sincerely, in words everyone could understand, so that all might learn the lesson he was trying to teach.
Yes. We were selfish with the helmets on the little bus, to break through it, sewage crippled up to get retorted mickle pokes. Slowly go, but for his lowly robot.
Comes in a second.
What's that?
Oh, it comes in a second.
Kitty corn dungeon guns and three fingers for your daughter's quote, belly up, antique Nazi paraphernalia.
Oh, this is it.
You're not pay your bills with holy water and Hail Mary love. Shut the fuck up, enjoy the Alcatraz shower fun. And mommy's Madame Alicia, Generation X agnostic front. It ain't the nifty faith in 1958 before the new testament approved ultra boy piston rape. And take me to you later, long as they don't manipulate Tom the Beaver. Call me crazy, but I bet that wasn't God's demeanor. Sodometer pagan, along I was Jesus every weekend, spoon fed to appease traditional upbringing. I'm a middle Pennsylvania shithole where elders movement stressed a stellar therapeutic Bible cycle. One church with a bait and tackle store next door and not much more. So that to move to New York, my babies raised on what they saw. Christmas morning smelled fresher than angel pussy, but immaculate conception came second.
This is the part I like. Oh, that's the part I like.
Oh, damn.
No, but that's okay. I can read it to you. Yeah, as I will be reading the lyrics.
Have to tell the signals on.
I know. I don't, and I don't know how to. Maybe I should be the one playing the songs.
Oh, maybe.
As I have a phone as well. I thought maybe this was some kind of like you're going to share a computer, but no, you just put an iPhone to a microphone.
I have a cord, but it's in my car, and that really fucks.
I can't be walking to cars getting cords. Sorry. Yeah, but that song, right? So like. Just kind of explaining like what he goes. His Christmas morning smelled fresher than angel pussy, which I think is just a hilarious way to just spit in God's face or your Christian family. But Immaculate Conception came second to playful goodies. Like laser tag was way more spiritual than blood and body wafer bags and a manger staff as long as Santa ate the cookies. Like him just having that explaining of like, yeah, what is Christmas to us? It's not about God. It's about toys. We love that. That was all fun. But then once it kind of comes in, it gets shit. Like I was a Catholic, you know, by the time I was old enough to know what religion was, I was Catholicism numb and truly didn't give a fuck. 94 moved out the crib and ain't seen a steeple since. What evil Knievel seeps in Christian leaders pitch. Sometimes you read these, you go, I didn't even know that was what he said. till priest slapped parental advisory warnings. I'll be auditioning gods in my office on Monday morning, which I always love that line of like, I'll be auditioning gods in my office. Cause when you don't get to audition gods, it's the one you get. You're raised, here's your religion, and you go, I'm right. That's how, you're lucky enough. You were lucky enough to have parents to have picked the right religion that they didn't even pick. Their grandparents picked, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like this idea of, well, you don't even, and they get you when you're a fucking kid. They don't get you when you're 18. If they ever had to say, 18, we pick a religion, no one would pick one because you have to get them when they're children. And that's kind of what this song is a lot about, which I had never heard Drake address. And that's what's been very upsetting to me. Or any of these, I don't know, whack track antagonists. I don't know what they're, called. But anyway, I don't know, just saying anything. I'm getting hyped up now here. But I
just feel like Kanye switched religions at a late age.
Did he?
I mean, he's super religious now. And he, you know, like 10 years ago, he wasn't. He was like, he was saying, I am a god. Like 8 years ago. Now he's fully... like doing gospel. It's
but he's still talking about himself. I think he thinks he's Jesus Christ. He's like, Jesus is the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm Jesus. Follow me, dog. I think this is what's happening. But also I wouldn't think of Kanye as like, Kanye is an amazing artist, very talented, but this is not a guy I would listen to about anything. I would not, unless it was like, here's how to make beats, here's how to get famous. Mm-hmm. This isn't a guy you want to sit down and talk to about like, hey, what's really going on in the world? Because he's kind of got, it, sometimes I think that a bird climbed into his brain and ate a piece of it.
Just a little piece.
Just a little piece. Took a little nibble.
All right. We are deep into this and it's my fault, but we gotta listen to some more songs or maybe we just do like four or five and have you do like a deep breakdown on them. Whichever one you prefer. Do you just want to play the songs yourself? Is that easier?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
This song is called Shrunk. I love this. It's on this. If you want to do an album from Aesop Rock, I would say listen to The Impossible Kid. That's the best album. It's probably his most solid album. And this song is about it's a hard ass beat about therapy, which I love. I love the fact that he addresses. I tried to give you the most eclectic shit, right? Like this is like, oh, him talking about his experience getting into therapy. I thought this is kind of fun. I always come out to this song when I'm on the road.
My first name is a random set of numbers and letters and other alphanumerics that changes hourly forever. My last name, a thousand vowels fitting down a sinkhole to a susurrus. It couldn't just be John Doe or Bingo. My address, a made-up language written out in living glyphs, lifted from demonic literature and religious texts. Telephone uncovered by purveyors of the Ouija and checked against the CBGB women's room.
How much do I play? I never know how much to play.
My
age is
obscure. My encased play like 30 seconds. In the days he's chasing birds.
Employed by trillionaires with perfect teeth and pores.
From people who open doors. For the people who open doors. So that's the general gist of it. He has a great line about, one of the great lines in this song is, he's talking about his therapist. He's like, you're a half a mil in debt. I get more guidance from my barber, which I love. Yeah. It's just like, it's like, why would I listen to you? You're like, you've loved this life. And what the fuck? Like, how do you know what you're talking about? But he kind of just goes through the idea of going into therapy for the first time, which I think is really kind of cool. I don't know if I have...
I do a joke about this song in my stand-up, actually. So what I say is, Aesop Rock, he goes, my first name is a random set of numbers and letters. Who is he? Grimes and Elon Musk, baby?
Damn, dog. You hit him hard, bro. That's a burn session right there. Call the fire department.
Drag him, girl.
So that's the opener.
Can I play you another one?
Yeah.
So this guy, to me, is one of the greatest lyrically. Every line you can take apart, and you kind of have to Google what he's talking about to be like, what does this mean? What is this reference? Then he comes out with, in the middle of the pandemic, this song called Long-Legged Larry, which is legitimately a nursery rhyme. And I love it. It's just about a frog who can jump real far and saves people. And I was like, man, this guy's the best.
I'll tell you right now, this song pissed me off when I was listening to it, and then I started to like it.
Yeah, watch the video.
I think I like it.
You got to watch the video because it's like unbelievable. It's like really great animation, but it was literally him, the greatest lyricist of all time, and then decides, hey, I'm going to do a nursery rhyme. And I was like, it just shows you that he also doesn't take himself super seriously, which I kind of loved.
With a body length of about 20 centimeters, bullfrogs are the largest.
Well, I'm going to wait till it gets there because I don't know how to fast forward on Spotify yet.
But then this defeats the point.
Jump so high, might miss him while he gone. Jump over anything, even King Kong. Jumping Jack Flash was his favorite song. Now once upon a time, there was a cat in a tree. Chased the squirrel up, been stuck since 3. The fireman came, said it's too high for me. How's that cat gonna ever get free? Young Jack Turner was a staple on the block. Said he knew about...
I did want to get you to this one part that gets me going. But doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's just
a beautiful tribute to Larry King. To Larry King. It was a beautiful tribute right after he passed.
the reason he died. He heard Long Legged Larry and he blew his fucking brains out. But yeah, the simplicity of this song I love so much because he's not usually a simple guy. And the lines are like, jump so high, grew a beard in the air. It's like so silly. And then you watch the video and it's like this really good stop animation, and it's like really artistic and cool. And he didn't put it on an album. It just kind of came out. And it's dope.
I knowing some backstory on that makes me like it more, because hearing it cold, I was like, what the fuck is this? This is insane.
I hope that wasn't the first one you listened to.
No, that was, I think, second or third. I listened to it in the order you had here. So I guess it was the third. Yeah. I just heard Holy Smokes, had my mind fucking obliterated about religion, man.
No, I know when you say it like that, it's horrendous. But as a kid listening to music,
I thought it was good. I liked that song. But the funny thing is, I did like the longer that Long Legged Larry, that's a tongue twister. The longer that Long Legged Larry lasted,
the angrier you were.
Really liking it. So I'm all in on Long Legged Larry.
Dude, watch the video, then you'll love it. You watch the video and you go, oh, this is great. This is great. Then you had like this, he had this song called, so Bazooka Tooth was the first album that like, so his first album, which I think was called Labor Days, I believe. It was really, really great. And then Bazooka Tooth came out, the album Bazooka Tooth, and it was so weird and crazy and nothing like I'd ever heard with rap before. His voice is just weird. The beats are insane. Like, the beats are just like calamitous, you know, that I kind of loved it because it was like me. It was like my brain. Like, it was like, oh, this is a fucking mess. And so this is Bazooka Tooth was this, is this song. And this is what fucking, I'll just talk over it a little bit. But I got to learn how to fast forward. But just listen to how it comes in. Like, it's kind of slow, still messy as hell. Okay, diamond cutter spine. His voice is horrendous. Armor that bends around the blades. Books and beard. Ebony in the lung piece. Bricks and a tip. Bazooka in the tooth that he's lashing at your friends. It's a lifestyle, baby. No, it's sipping recipes. But then wait for it, wait for it. You inside of in the center. It's just like a whole other song. I highly suggest listening to Bazooka Tooth and The Impossible Kid, because Bazooka Tooth is like, it's like the first album for me that really broke him, where it was like, it was insane. It's all over the place. It's different. You know, he also came up with that LP crew and, you know, MF Doom and all those guys. Like, those were like, you know, Atmosphere, those guys. And which Atmosphere, I mean, God, sometimes that guy's great, then sometimes that guy is the worst. But he's just like, what are you doing, dude? He's like singing about feeling. Anyway, but Bazooka Tooth is like a mess and it's crazy. And then by the time you get to Impossible Kid, he has refined his style so well and he's become such a great storyteller that it's just like this amazing. I love to watch artists get better. And I love everything he's done. And you watch this and he literally just evolves and gets better and changes and it's fucking great. But it's definitely nothing that I hate to say the mainstream, but like, it's so hard to get people to listen to him because he sounds so weird. You really have, it's like a Coen Brothers movie. Like, at first you just don't get it. You have to really do it a bunch of times and then you go, but when you're in, you're all the way in and you're like, wow, no one is better than this. This is insane.
Absolutely. I think you've made a good case for your boy. I do. So the thing you were saying about not fitting the mainstream, and I was trying to look up criticism of him, and there is criticism of him. Like, on genius.com, there's like a whole thread about how he's overrated. And this guy who goes pretty hard named Can't Knock the Hustle. So be mad at him. Don't be mad at me about this.
Yeah, I don't know why you're bringing this up. I'm going to be furious.
Most of his fans like to pretend that they really understand what he's talking about when they really don't.
There's a guy who doesn't know. I've seen this shit. I've seen this criticism. Sorry to pause you halfway. They pretend to know what he's talking about and then they really don't. Well, you do. If you sit times and you read the lines, you can Google them and you go like, what the fuck? Like, you just pick a great line. Like, you pick that's what I love about him is that he'll say lines and you go, this is bullshit words. And then one day you go, oh, that's what you mean. You just take the longest way to say something. Like, he has some dumb, I don't know why this is the lines coming in my head, but it's like zigzag around the corner, like zigzag like Charlie Brown or something. And what he's referring to is instead of just saying like, you know, taking a long time or whatever, he says he's referencing the shirt, Charlie Brown zigzag shirt and this whole thing. But it takes you, and that's not a great example. But there's a lot of that shit where you kind of have to, let me look up lyrics to something else where you don't know. And then you hits you and you go, that's what you were talking about. Sidewinders through fried wires. Like, to understand that feeling, I know what you're talking about. You're a missile trying to shoot through these things you can't touch. Because and then I get that. That's a great way to reference being in a room full of fucking people you hate that are all nasty. Sorry, I don't mean to scream at you.
I love it.
Very passionate about this.
I think you did a great. As soon as I read that, as soon as you started breaking down the lyrics to that song at the beginning of the show or at the beginning of the talk about ASAP, I was like, that's exactly, you've already dispelled the one thing that people. Because most of the criticism is that he just uses big words for the sake of using them, and he doesn't really need what he's saying is just to be interesting, but it's like, that's a style. I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
There was like a guy did a study where he compared like a bunch of different rappers, and he found out that of all of them, A$AP Rock has the largest vocabulary in hip hop.
Yeah. By like a billion. It's like
he's like way ahead.
By
yeah.
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, that's awesome. You know, I mean, that's just kind of fucking, you know, that doesn't make me feel smarter than anyone. I do like to learn new words from his songs. Like, I found out what Sabuku was through A$AP Rock. Mm-hmm. I think it's like Harry Carey. It's like when the Japanese guys would kill themselves.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Sabuku. It's in Shrunk. Let's get to the Sabuku, right? Like, that's
remember
what
I told you I was going to do on New Year's Eve?
That's right.
Yeah.
A Sudoku. And I was like, to me, and you, I don't know why you have that large sword for it. It's just numbers on paper, brother. But hey, have fun. But that's I have heard that before. Anyway, let's get to the Facebook, because we got some comments immediately about A$AP Rock, and so I was surprised that people were so quick to jump on this one. But somebody posted the thing Tommy was just talking about with the number of words he used is way more than any other rapper. John Rosenberger says the album he did with Kimya Dawson, that Uncluded, is one of my top 10 albums of all time. Damn, John.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's what I was looking up A$AP Rock controversy, and the only thing I really found was that Kimya Dawson tweeted, "I am not friends with A$AP Rock." It sounds like they had a bad falling out, and it's and like a lot of people he collaborates with, the projects fall apart, and they end up pointing the blame ends up on him a lot of the time.
But, well, you listen to his songs, you hear what he's talking about, and you go, "Yeah, this guy's mind seems to be crazy." But you don't get this without that. So I'm kind of like, look, artists can go do their... I don't know him. I never met him. So I'm like, maybe he's a little hard to get... Whatever. It's like, that's, you know... what you're giving me this art, keep doing that. As long as you're not murdering or raping anybody, it'd be real nice to... You know, I don't think it's any of that shit, which is good, but... sorry.
Oh, no, all good. This is what this is for. Adam Cousin says, man, he was fun. John Moskowitz says he's great, but also ironic, being the most lyrical rapper. I doubt most of his fans can understand even half of what he's saying. There's that one again. Steve Vanderplug says, I saw him freestyle battle Murs and Slug at Red Rocks.
Oh, Murs.
And he absolutely obliterated both of them. Damn. Nate Fritzen, who I just did the Horse podcast where we talked about the Malice at the Palace doc that's coming out next week. The podcast that we did is coming out next week. Very fun. Nate Fritzen says, love A$AP Rock. He's so consistent throughout the years, keeps putting out interesting and innovative stuff. Also, I was listening to 9to5ers anthem off Labor Days when I totaled my car in college. That song still bangs.
Yeah, bangs.
I wouldn't want to hear that anymore after that. Dan Mendenhall says, I love A$AP Rock, but if I have to hear one more white guy with dreads tell me, if you want to hear real hip hop, you've got to listen to A$AP Rock, not A$AP Rocky, I'll light myself on fire. Damn, Daniel.
How many times does that happen? It can't be more than one.
Exactly. I don't know any A$AP Rock fans who actually have dreads. I would say if I got to hear one more white guy with a fitted hat and Air Maxes on tell me about A$AP Rock, it's like, okay. Some ex-skateboarder, sure. Mm-hmm. Also, I hate, it does make me mad that he's white, because like, then people immediately just don't take him seriously. Yeah. It's like, yep. You know, it's like annoying, but it's like, yeah, this is a genre, okay? People can do genres. You know, people can do things. You know what I mean? Also, it's very, if he was doing rap that was like, sounded like Jay-Z, I get it. Then attack him. But he's doing rap that sounds like nothing anyone has done. So like, are you just saying people can't rhyme fast anymore if they're not black? Is that what you're saying? Now I'm mad as hell because white people are the best. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. Oh,
no, I mean, no. I'm just saying anything to say anything. But what? Yeah.
Started off the show with, I am not a racist.
Well, my two favorite rappers are, and I have a ton of favorite rappers, but it's so funny. Anthony DeVito always makes fun of me because he always says, I only like white rappers. But my top two are A$AP Rock and this guy Brother Ali, who just so happens to be an albino black guy. So it's like, damn, dude, even your number one black guy is a white guy. But that's a guy too. I don't agree with a lot of the things he says because he does a lot of stuff about religion. Like he's a Muslim guy, and it's like, yeah, I hate religion, but I think this guy's a great fucking rapper, and I love I love storytelling it. I love lyrics and storytelling in rap more than anything.
All right, next comment is from Carmen Naidu, who says, "For the longest time, I didn't know Aesop and Aesop Rock were Aesop Rocky were two different people." Yep, I went through that today. Jason Hillman says, "One of the few MCs from the Jux era continuing to put out incredible work. Spirit World Field Guide is constantly surprising masterpiece." All right,
that's the shirt.
That's the shirt that.
Yeah. Dude, he also did this album called Malibu Ken with this guy Tobacco. Tobacco did the theme song from Silicon Valley. That's if you would know him. And it's so fucking out there beat-wise that you're like, everyone would hate it. But I love it. The guy can make almost anything work. He did that shit with Kimye Dawson. It's like, this should not work, but he makes it work. He's great.
By the way, if you guys don't know Kimye Dawson, you will know her. If you've seen the film Juno, you will know her work because she was all over that soundtrack. And
can I shit talk?
Period of my life. Yeah,
I'm gonna shit talk Joe List real quick.
Oh, right? Oh, yeah.
Let's get a little shit talk on this guy. This is a thing that fucking made me furious. And like, I love Joe, so it just goes without saying.
It has nothing to do with the.
we split an Uber.
Joe likes to talk about music and now he's like this music guy and I love music. I hate when people say I'm a music guy. Oh, what do you mean? We're all music guys. That's like saying I'm a guy who eats. Yeah, we all fucking eat, man. Right? You go to see bands? We all see bands. Well, anyway, I grew up in like the hardcore punk scene. I was going to like shows every weekend. I was going spending a lot of time there. So I'm like, "Oh, Joe, I know you don't like rap, but you should check out this guy, Aesop Rock." And I was like, "You might like it because it's like intellectual. Also, you love shit where you can say you like something other people don't." And he was like, no, not for me. 3 or 4 years later, he comes up to me and he tries to put Kimye Dawson and the Uncluded on me. And he was like, "Dude, you got to hear this shit." I went, "That's Aesop Rock, motherfucker. That's the guy I've been telling you for fucking years. But you needed a fucking woman to sing your way to get into him." I was so, I almost choked him to death. I was like, "Are you fucking serious? You're trying to tell me about Aesop Rock? Are you out of your fucking mind? Go home. 6 months, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you our friendship was on hold for 6 months. Real quick, and in another story, I grew up in Newark, right? So I was the only white guy growing up.
Many saints there, I heard.
I had a few like white friends or whatever. My best friends were Puerto Rican. My best friend was this kid Horse. He's actually the one who got me into Aesop Rock. He comes up to me 2 years ago and he was like, "AOG man, you ever heard Black Sabbath?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, I know Black Sabbath." He's like, "Nah, you don't know him. You don't know him. You gotta hear this album, right?" And I'm like, and I think it was that album Number 7, right? And which is, I don't know if that's the name of the album, but it's like their big, it was like a really unbelievable album. And the funny thing is, I had never heard that album. And I had to refuse to acknowledge him that I was like, you don't get to tell me a Black, because I was at Ozfest. I went this shit. But I never went that deep into his shit. But him knowing that above me as a Puerto Rican guy to a white guy, right? Like, I'm not allowed to tell him about rap. He's not allowed to tell me about Ozzy Osbourne. The skin color gets you a little bit, right? But anyway, he got me into that album. But it was just like that one thing where people try to tell you shit. And it's like, he was actually right. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And I'm not a racist, people. That's what everybody who talks about Aesop Rock says. It's like, "I don't like him because he's white. I swear to God he's good. I'm not a racist, people."
All right, I'm going to read one more here. Yeah. Jeffrey McDonald says, "Really like his work. I got into him around the time I first heard about artists like Company Flow, Rob Sonic, Mr. Liff.
Mr. Liff.
And at Pop Consortium. Not many weak links in that late 90s, early 2000s underground hip hop scene." All right.
See, and that's the thing too about this shit. Where this is Sean Hayes. That's not his name. I actually. What's my man?
Sean Gray?
Andy Haynes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Sean Haynes.
His own
Andy Haynes.
And Rose Beard Baker.
Wow. That's right. That is too.
People need this to be walked through that joke real quick. So Andy married Rosebud Baker, a great comedian who's been on the show, and Tommy did just call her Rose Beard Baker.
Because he said Sean Hayes, the famous little great
actor. I know, but if
that will never be recreated.
We could turn the tides on Andy right now and start saying he's gay and in the closet, and Rose Beard Baker would stick. He has showed no signs of this, but that's fine. We could ruin someone. We could make ruin someone for no reason. Although in comedy,
now you got to hit him with the "I am not homophobic."
Yeah, I am not homophobic. I am not. But that man is. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but that Andy Haynes comes to me one day, and you know, I had Aesop Rock shirt on, and he was like, "Oh, I used to love that backpack rap," and I got so mad because I'm like, "No, fuck you!" And it's like, I guess that's kind of what it was called back then. But Aesop Rock, like, yeah, he started a while ago, but like he's he has grown up. There, this what he's doing now is so much better than what it was back then. Like I said, Impossible Kid, this new album, The Field Guide, is fucking amazing. He's just been continually making amazing stuff for so long that like you can't call him that shit anymore because he's not. It's not that, you know. It's like saying Guns N' Roses an '80s metal band. To me, they're not. They're bigger than the '80s hair bands. Yeah, they came in that generation, but they're bigger than that. Maybe something else.
Really fast, just because you mentioned,
I know,
still making new stuff. Did you see that he apparently was asked to? He made verses for Drake's new album and for Kanye's new album and got pulled off of both.
ASAP.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's mm-hmm. crazy. So he wrote this long thing on his Instagram story because somebody asked him, "Why were your verses taken off?" And he said, "Ye was like, bruh, I need this verse by tomorrow at noon, and it better be the best shit you ever wrote." And I was like, "Ye, I can't do it right now. I got Aubrey on line two, and he's talking full duet on the CLB lead single, video, the whole thing." And Ye was all, "Dog, if you don't have this verse to me by noon, I will collect your fucking heathen soul." And then I cut him off and said, "Fine." I told Drizzy I had a migraine and needed the night to sleep. I went home and honed in on the beat Ye had sent, which was the best beat ever produced in music. I ran a bath and cried and wrote a lot all night. In fact, I blacked out. And when I woke up, I had apparently already emailed him something I didn't remember recording. I pressed play and it was 200 bar Leonardo da Vinci diss verse. Ye was blowing up my phone the next morning, going back and forth. "I love this. I can't release this. What happened in Florence is not my beef." And I was just like, "Ye, it's 200 bars and it's all I got. Drake needs me." In the end, he felt it was better to leave it off and then take the risk. By the time I got back to Drake, he had heard I didn't really have a migraine from, wait for it, Ye. Drake in stride and said, but said I couldn't be on CLB after that. And I didn't blame him. It's all love on my end, just learning how to navigate this game. So Ye, it sounds kind of
Aesop Rock.
Totally fucked him. Yeah.
Or Aesop Rocky.
I believe that's Aesop. Aesop, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. It was Aesop Rock. I saw the same thing. Yeah.
That's Aesop
Rock. I did not know. I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
I was unaware of that. Whatever. Johnny Carson. That's man, that would have been so great to have seen that happen. But then again, it also could have taken him to a level where he's this guy. I don't know how well he would do on the main stage. You know what I mean? Too big, people would rip him apart. You know, I don't know. I mean, I want nothing but money and everyone to know how great he is. But I don't know what that would do to him to become famous like that. He might commit suicide. Like, he's too crazy. He's too crazy for that kind of money.
Yeah, fair enough.
Man, that's sad as hell. I wish that he would at least got one line on.
I know it's weird. It's weird that he was like so in line to do a big spot on the Drake. I have actually haven't listened to the Drake album yet. I still haven't gotten through the full Kanye yet.
It's 78 songs.
So long. But I do like it. The more I've been listening, we did an episode on it. The more I listen to it, the more I like it. But
there is a lot of good stuff on it. Yeah.
Jail is great. Yeah. And I'm not talking about the song. I think that our prison system is
actually, yeah, there's no note.
no notes.
I heard one song about which I really kind of related to, which about driving a hovercraft, which I was like, there's that one song, it's like, "I'm driving a hovercraft." I'm like, "What? This is what Kanye's rapping about? Hovercraft songs? I'm in."
All right. Do we get anything on Twitter, Tommy?
There's three. I'll do them real quick. Spose, that all-time legend. I first heard him on this album by The Controls called 197 or 98. Been a fan ever since. Patreon guest, never main feed guest, Max Fine, said so good. And person of disinterest, that big fan, not sure what he's talking about half the time.
There we go. There's the other side of it. All right, we got to wrap this up because we got to record the Patreon with Greg. Get over there. It's $3 a month, and we give you bonus episodes. This one will involve Greg Stone. Greg, you have the floor for your final thoughts on Aesop Rock.
Oh, well, I would just say, man, look, give him a shot. And if you don't like it, give him another shot. He might not be for you, but what he's done for me emotionally as a rapper is like I'm not a super fan of anyone, but this is my guy. Like, I think that he deserves a listen if you're into weird hip hop, I guess.
Hell yeah. Well put.
Also, oh, sorry. One more thing. If you really like him, what you want to do is go to Greg Stone Zone and subscribe to my Patreon. Check out my podcast.
Oh, we're doing Friday plugs in like 5 seconds.
No, I like to get my plugs in before you do plugs, before people turn them off. I like to do my plugs usually in the middle of the podcast, but you probably edited that out already. Yep.
This is the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, no, man. I think he's great. So you might, I say, if you have to do anything, watch the Long Legged Larry music video. It's so fun. And then check out the songs you really want to hit. Let me just read my song lists to hit. I know you said we want to go early, but I like to just drag these things out as long as I like to go well over the hour. Give him the free, give him for it. Check out Holy Smokes, Fast Cars. That's a song we didn't do yet. That's one of the songs that hit me. Kiln was the one we played before by Hail Mary Malin. Malibu Ken, 1+1=13. Daylight is the song that got me.
Love Daylight.
Yeah, right? Daylight's the one.
That was the only one I'd heard before. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Yeah, most, that's the one that usually got everyone in. That's like the and then The Impossible Kid is probably one of my favorite albums he's ever done.
Hell yeah.
So that's that.
I feel like this was more of an appreciation episode than people shitting on him. So I don't see, Tommy, do you think we should rate this one? I don't really feel compelled to rate the playlist.
I'd say if you would have shit on him, like I would have
pissed. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to control myself. It's the one sensitive thing. I could walk in a room and be like, your mom's a whore. If I'm on stage and you go, Aesop Rock sucks, I walk out. No one gets show now. I put the mic back in the stand. I go, fuck this. I don't want to perform here. And I leave.
There you go.
And Gus Dakota comes back and gives you the business.
if you did kill Joe List, we just all of a sudden we see your alter ego around. Skip town, you're like talking shit about that Greg guy was a weirdo. All right, check us out at Boise. We will be at the Tree Fort Music Fest as part of Comedy Fort. We're doing a live Stand By Your Band. We need to plan that. I don't know what else I'm doing. So just come check us out wherever you can. Tommy, what else you got going on?
I'll still be in Chicago next week. I'll be at a Comedian You Should Know. So come check that out if you didn't miss the Zany show. And I'll be at Chuck also, Chicago Underground Comedy, the Beat Kitchen the night before. So yeah, check me out in Chicago next week.
Ooh, baby, and get on the Patreon and get on Greg's Patreon. Check out Friday Night Greg. And what else you got, Greg?
Oh, I got it. I got it. My new album. We'll talk about it on the Patreon, but yeah. I got an album out with my band Night Cream.
All right. And, we'll talk about Night Cream.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the Patreon, but I want to get people to listen to it now. Is that okay? Should I not?
Yeah.
Am I not allowed to plug it on
No, please plug it. Yeah.
Fuck you, man. Fuck you, man. Check out Night Cream, man. It's just improvised music that my guy would not let us take more than one take. And we put it all on. We're taking it way too jokingly serious. Like, we did it in one take. We put out this album. It's on Spotify. It's The Cream Supreme. And we've been performing live around New York, just tearing it up.
Hell yeah.
All right. We love you, Greg. Thanks so much for doing it.
Love you guys.
And, we'll see you in 10 minutes to do the Patreon. All right.
Oh, should I leave?
Everybody. No, I have to end the meeting and then start a new one. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.